KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have sunny skies and 55 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be partly cloudy and breezy today, a high near 71. Good morning, I'm Rick Henson with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. Well, local residents, business owners, and community leaders will have an opportunity to share their thoughts about opportunities and challenges in rural Iowa when Bill Minner, USDA Rural Development State Director in Iowa, visits Atlantic on Wednesday, June the 5th. A rural issues roundtable discussion will take place beginning at 10 a.m. on that date at the Rowe Conference Room at the Rock Island Depot at 102 Chestnut Street in Atlantic. The USDA's rural development funding continues to have an impact on rural communities across Iowa. Since 2009, USDA Rural Development has invested more than $2.5 billion on essential public facilities, small and emerging businesses, water and sewer systems, and housing opportunities for Iowa families. Today, more than 1.7 million Iowans live in rural communities and areas, and nearly half the state's communities have fewer than 500 residents. This past year, USDA Rural Development investment in Iowa helped to create or retain more than 1,600 jobs, aided 2,400 families in buying their own homes, and assisted in more than 60 communities for improvements to their facilities, services, and infrastructure. The USDA office in Atlantic serves businesses, communities, and residents in several western Iowa counties. News time is 8:02.
You're home most of the time just watching television, and you don't have any problems hearing the TV, so you don't need to have your hearing tested.
At family functions, everyone pretty much leaves you alone anyway, so you don't need a hearing evaluation.
At the doctor's office, your wife asks all the questions, and she'll help you get all the medications right once you get home. You don't need to hear everything the doctor says.
When everyone at coffee is laughing and having a good time telling jokes, it doesn't bother you. You just laugh along with them so they don't think you didn't get it. The fact that you missed the punchline is okay. You don't like dumb jokes anyway, and you definitely don't need to get your hearing evaluated.
During your last performance evaluation, you didn't get the raise you expected. Your boss says he's tired of repeating instructions, and if things don't improve, your job might be in jeopardy. Maybe it is time to get your hearing checked.
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're tired of missing out on quality time with your family, of missing the punchlines with your friends, and maybe even falling behind at work, there is hope. Take control of your life. Call today for a hearing evaluation. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll. Hear better, live better.
Iowa Secretary of Agriculture Bill Northey said growers are hopeful for a bountiful crop of spring produce that could begin showing up at farmers' markets soon. Northey said a cool spring delayed the crop a bit, but the weather has improved, and timely spring rain and the lack of a killing frost could produce a big harvest. Produce such as strawberries, asparagus, and rhubarb is beginning to become available, and later crops such as radishes, carrots, green beans, and leafy greens should be harvested soon. The Iowa Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardship's website lists the state's farmers' markets as well as farm stands and many farms where people can buy produce. Go to www.iowaagriculture.gov and click on Data Searches and Directories at the bottom right side of the page. Elsewhere in the news, an online petition is calling for the mayor of Sioux City to resign over his role in replacing the Argosy Riverboat Casino with a Hard Rock-branded facility. The petition at change.org questions the impartiality of Mayor Bob Scott and other city officials during the selection of a land-based casino to replace the riverboat property. The Iowa Racing and Gaming Commission awarded a state gaming license last month to Sioux City Entertainment. Penn National Gaming Company owns the Argosy and has criticized over how Sioux City Entertainment was selected over the other applicants. A Penn spokeswoman said the company is not involved in the petition, which was launched this week by a South Dakota resident. It had more than 100 supporters as of Thursday. The massive Oklahoma tornado that struck school buildings is prompting a closer look at tornado safety procedures at schools across the country. Dave Johnston of the Iowa Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management says Iowa schools must have designated shelter areas, but not all schools have tornado-safe rooms.
The last few years, tornado-safe rooms or shelters have been built with disaster funds from the floods of 08 and then follow-on disaster events, so specific rooms have been built for that, but no, there is no overarching, not every school, not every building has something like that, but every building, every public building, schools included in that, is required to have a designated shelter.
Johnston says school buildings aren't any more susceptible to damage than any other buildings.
Most schools are built with, you know, at least a 20, usually closer to 100-year lifespan planned, so you've got a very solid structure there. You've got a very specific idea. Most schools in this state are single story, which will also add to safety. The lower to the ground you are, generally speaking, the better it is, and the easier it is for you to get to shelter, especially if your shelter is underground.
Students are trained in how to escape a storm.
Schools are required by law, by code, to perform 2 fire evacuation drills and 2 tornado or severe weather sheltering drills every semester or every half year. So essentially what it equates to is, I believe schools have to do 4 fire evacuation and 4 tornado drills every year by law.
The drills teach the students how to get to the required designated shelter areas in the event of severe weather. The Iowa Attorney General's Office has a warning for Iowans who want to help tornado victims in Moore, Oklahoma. Radio Iowa's Pat Curtis reports.
Monday's tornado killed at least 24 people and could end up being the most expensive twister in U.S. history, as damage is estimated at $2 billion. In the wake of such disasters, there are always scam artists looking to take advantage of the situation. Iowa Attorney General's Office spokesperson Jeff Greenwood says there have not been any complaints filed in Iowa tied to Oklahoma tornado relief efforts yet.
But we're afraid it's just a matter of time before that happens, and we're trying to tell you now, as people appeal to your emotions, just be careful. It's not that we're saying don't give, we're saying give wisely.
He says Iowans should donate to familiar, established disaster relief organizations like the American Red Cross or the Salvation Army. Radio Iowa, I'm Pat Curtis.
The law enforcement officials and volunteers are continuing to search for a 15-year-old Iowa girl who was kidnapped, even though the chances of finding her alive have diminished. Division of Criminal Investigation Agent Bill Keitzman said 10-member teams will search today in an expanded area of central Iowa for Kathleen Shepherd. Police say 42-year-old Michael Klinder convinced Kathleen and a 12-year-old friend to get into his truck while they were walking home from school. They say he took them to a hog confinement building where their hands were tied with zip ties. The 12-year-old managed to break free and ran through the woods to safety. Klinder was found dead hours later after hanging himself at another rural property. Investigators in Dayton say blood evidence found around a hog confinement lot has tested positive as belonging to Kathleen Shepherd. The 15-year-old has been missing since she and the 12-year-old girl were abducted on Monday. The younger girl, as we mentioned, escaped, and Agent Bill Kitzman with the Iowa Department of Criminal Investigation provided an update on the case late Thursday afternoon.
I won't go into the quantity of blood that was found. It's enough that shows that she probably sustained some injuries, and we'll leave it at that for now. So that blood at the scene is Kathleen's.
The teen's blood was also found on the tailgate of the pickup belonging to Michael Klinder. The 42-year-old is the accused kidnapper. Authorities have expanded the search for Shepherd 10 miles to the west and northwest of the hog confinement where the girls were taken.
We are not giving up hope that we can find Kathleen. Our intent is still to find her and bring her home to her family. Clearly, this evidence diminishes our hopes that we're going to find her in a safe manner.
Hundreds of people have volunteered their time helping police in the search for Shepherd. Kitzman issued a call for even more help on Thursday.
We're asking any farmers in that area to search their own outbuildings. If they have a farm that they know hasn't been searched by law enforcement, on their own, go outside and just search their outbuildings. If they have abandoned buildings on their property that they know about, to either search them themselves or call us, and we'll do that search for them.
Kitzman said Klunder's wife has been cooperating with the investigation and is not a suspect in the case. Investigators believe Klunder acted alone. And an Iowa police chief says a dozen investigators are looking into whether the suspect in Monday's kidnapping of the two girls is connected to last year's slaying of two cousins who vanished 90 miles away. Authorities believe Michael Klunder kidnapped 15-year-old Kathleen Shepherd and her 12-year-old friend this week. And Police Chief Kent Smock said Thursday that investigators are now scrutinizing Klunder in connection with the deaths of Lyric Cook and Elizabeth Collins because of similarities in the cases. The cousins were 8 and 10 when they disappeared while riding bikes last July. Their bodies were discovered in December. Smock says that investigators are exploring anything and everything about Klunder, who was found dead earlier this week. Taking a look at world headlines of this hour, in Washington State, the patrol chief says that the Interstate 5 bridge collapse and the Skagit River north of Seattle was caused by an oversized truck. Chief John Batiste told an overnight news conference a truck hit an overhead span. The truck made it safely off the bridge, and the driver remained at the scene and cooperated with investigators. Two other vehicles went into the water as the bridge collapsed. Three people were rescued and are recovering. Travel experts say they expect another summer of steady but slow recovery if things go well. Airlines, hotels, and campgrounds are rebounding, but large segments of the population are staying close to home because of the still sluggish economy. AAA says auto travel this Memorial Day weekend will be about the same as last year. If other forms of travel are included, the number is expected to drop slightly. New Jersey Governor Chris Christie has cut a ribbon to symbolically reopen the state's shore for the summer season, 7 months after the area was devastated by Superstorm Sandy. The ribbon was 5 miles long, stretching through parts of what's known as the Northern Barrier Island in Ocean County. And President Obama is off to the U.S. Naval Academy today, where he will speak to newly commissioned officers. The remarks come a day after Obama laid out his counterterrorism vision. The Academy says 16 presidents have addressed graduates, and Obama is the sixth president to do so twice. His first address there was 4 years ago. News time is 8:12.
Listen carefully and think what your life would be like if you were constantly faced with
embarrassment, fatigue, irritability, tension and stress, anger, avoidance of social activities,
depression, negativism, danger to personal safety, reduced general health, loneliness, social isolation,
impaired memory, less adaptability to learning new tasks, paranoia, reduced coping skills, and reduced overall psychological health.
So what is it? Heart disease, cancer, or some other serious illness? For many of these diseases, the prognosis may be terminal, but the symptoms you just heard are actually linked to hearing loss. And for that, there is hope, whether the loss is mild or profound. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist with ASI. Hearing loss doesn't have to be a source of embarrassment or depression or any of the other symptoms you just heard. You can avoid many, if not all of them, by treating your hearing loss with hearing aids. Today's hearing aids offer technology that has given back what so many patients thought they'd lost for good. And it starts with an evaluation. Call today, ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll. Hear better, live better.
In our funeral announcements, Roger C. Hagedorn, age 75 of Manning, died Tuesday at the Manning Hospital. Services for Roger Hagedorn will be today at 10:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Anchor Christian Rasmussen, age 92 of Harlan, died Tuesday at his home. Funeral services for Anchor Rasmussen will be today at 10:30 at Folly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Norman Lee Blunk, age 85, and C. Maxine Blunk, age 87, both of Atlantic, died in August of 2010 and December of 2012, respectively, at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Combined memorial services for Norman and Maxine Blunk will be today at 11 o'clock at the Wyota United Methodist Church. Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic has the arrangements. Robert K. Nelson, age 59, of Menlo, died Saturday at the Stewart Community Care Center. Graveside services for Robert Nelson will be today at 11 o'clock at the Dexter Cemetery. Johnson Family Funeral Home in Stewart has arrangements. Larry Keith Sleister, age 70, of Guthrie Center, died Sunday at the Guthrie County Hospital. Memorial services for Larry Sleister will be today at 11 o'clock at the First United Methodist Church in Guthrie Center. Twig Funeral Home in Guthrie Center has arrangements. Jim Daniels, age 69, formerly of Griswold, died May 17th at Omaha Care and Rehab Center. Graveside services for Jim Daniels will be this afternoon at 1 o'clock at the Flint Cemetery in Griswold. A luncheon will be held at the Griswold United Methodist Church following the service. Danny Hall, age 62, of Shelby, died Tuesday at Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. Funeral services for Danny Hall will be tomorrow at 10 o'clock at the Shelby Methodist Church. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Joanne Renicky, age 80, of Avoca, died May 16th. Funeral services for Joanne Renicky will be tomorrow at 10:30 at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca. Gary Malik, age 65, formerly of Denison, died December 4th in Kansas City. Memorial services for Gary Malik will be tomorrow at 11 o'clock at the Harlan Cemetery. Burmeister Johansson Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Leah B.B. Chadwick, age 90, of Summerfield, Florida, died March 22nd. Graveside services for Leah Chadwick will be tomorrow at 4 o'clock at the Evergreen Cemetery in Anita. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home has arrangements. Marvin Steffens, age 84, formerly of Atlantic, died Saturday in Kingman, Arizona. Funeral services for Marvin Steffens will be held this Sunday at the Cross of Christ Church in Kingman. Sutton Funeral Home of Kingman has arrangements. Thelma Lillian Hammond, age 99, of Corvallis, Oregon, died January 10th at the Samaritan Evergreen Hospice in Albany, Oregon. Graveside services for Thelma Hammond will be on Wednesday of next week at 2 p.m. in the Atlantic Cemetery. DeMoss Durden Funeral Home and Crematorium in Corvallis has the arrangements. Robert L. Bailey, age 82, of Atlantic, died Thursday at Atlantic Nursing and Rehab. Services for Robert Bailey are pending at Hockenberry Family Care in Atlantic. Sharon Elliott, age 73, of Greenfield, died Thursday at Mercy Medical Center in Des Moines. Funeral services for Sharon Elliott are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Era Anderson, age 86, a longtime Atlantic resident, has died at her home. Services for Era Anderson are pending at the Roland Funeral Service in Atlantic. And Roger Newell, age 68, a longtime Atlantic resident, has died at the Creighton Hospital in Omaha. Services for Roger Newell are pending at the Roland Funeral Service in Atlantic. The news was brought to you by ASI Audiology and Hearing Instruments at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.